Amen. You know, when music is going on, it's okay to dance. It's okay to shout. It's okay to sing if you know the songs. We even do you a great favor that we will put the words up there so that you can sing along. You realize that some of you may be going through hell right now. Praise is what opened up the doors. We enter into his gates with thanksgiving and what? Praise. You have a right to praise. I'm not going to shout you down because you praise and you dance and you shout and you rejoice in God's house. We're not going to do that. If somebody looks at you weird, just continue to praise. They don't know what you're going through. They don't know what God is getting ready to bring you out of and what he has already brought you out of. Praise. That's okay to do. Shout. Man, I grew up in a church where they didn't put any words up, so you just had to learn on the fly. And then sometimes people would have open songs, like they would have people just get up and sing a song. You don't even know the words. And if you're anything like me, you make up the words as you go. You could be singing the wrong words and everybody's trying to get along and then they're trying to find a key. There's no chord sheets and stuff. It's just on the fly. They don't rehearse that. You have it pretty good. Praise. That's a good thing. Some of you are expecting, you needing God's favor in your life. I'm telling you, God's going to open up doors for you. You've been praying over something. God's going to open up doors for you. Something that's just been just constantly, it's just been a turn down after turn down after turn down. He's getting ready to open up some doors for you. Step through it with faith, by faith. Step through those doors. The pity party's over with. I'm not too much on the pity party stuff. If you know, I'm not like that. Let's not throw a pity party forever. You know, God wants us rejoicing. He wants us praising. That keeps the devil under our feet. He's under the feet. Jesus says, I will make the enemy a foot. He will be put under your feet. We're the body. The enemy is under us. Stop allowing him to beat you down, to attack you, to run you ragged, to just do all sorts of hell to you. We have a choice. That's our call. And God, and it's already a finished work. I don't know about you, but I don't get tired of winning. Because thanks be unto God who, what? Always, that next word, always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. So why would I want to be on the outside of that? Well, I'd be losing all day long. Well, we're all losers. No, you're not, not in Christ. You're winners. You have the victory. Every single day, you have the victory. You walk in it with your head high. Not that pity stuff. Swing low, sweet chariots don't cut it anymore. You're free. Who's singing sweet low and sweet chariot? Where did that come from? Didn't that come from the fields? Ain't nobody in the fields anymore. You're not slaves. You're no longer slaves. You're servants of Jesus Christ. Come on. Swing low, sweet chariots means that you've been a slave to sin. You're not a slave to sin. You're a slave to Jesus Christ. You're a slave. You're a servant of the Most High. You're in a better place. So when we come in here, and we come in here corporately to worship our Heavenly Father, leave the baggage out there. Just come here and praise and don't pick it up. Just walk on by. Act like you don't even see it. Lord, I give it to you. I cast my cares. I left it at the door. I don't even see it. It's not even there. I'm going to enjoy my day. Why worried about something when God ain't worried? Is God worried about your problems? No, because he knows what he can do and what he's done already. How big he is. That's the attitude you need to get in your everyday life. This isn't a problem for me. And he says, cast your cares upon him. So, Lord, this is yours. Cool. You go on about your day. You keep living your life. You keep doing what he's called you to do. If there's any mountains, you speak it out and you declare it out. You decree. You're a chosen priesthood. You're a royal priesthood and you're a chosen generation. You live that out. Quit allowing your circumstances to tell you something different. That wasn't in my notes. If you have your Bibles, open up to Ephesians 2. You know, God saved you by his grace. You didn't save yourself. And the thing is, that may shock some people, but no, you did not save yourself. God is the one that saved you. God is the one who found you when you were lost. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is the gift that keeps on giving, Clark. That grace is the gift that just keeps on giving time after time after time. It keeps on giving because his grace and his mercy is new every single day. It keeps on giving. God doesn't want you to fail. It's like almost impossible to fail in the kingdom because of what he's done for, what Jesus has done for you. You have to deliberately mess up and fail over and over and over again to consider yourself a loser. How about this? How about stop rebelling against God and just stay obedient to him in his word? You may not do that perfectly, but if you mess up, fess up and keep going. Paul said he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is for everything you need in this life and for eternity. Grace is free, free. So grow in it. 2 Peter 3:18 tells us to grow in grace, but acknowledge God. Ephesians 2:8 says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, a gift, a gift. You have been justified freely by his grace through the redemption of Jesus Christ. You know, people will say, but there's in the middle of pride, pride is talking about the sinful nature. In the middle of pride, there's the letter I. But see, I also look at in the middle of justified, there's the letter I. I am justified in Christ. I am redeemed. You know, in the middle of alive is I. In the middle of faith is I. See? What Jesus has done for you is far greater than what sin can do for you. Sin can't overcome you. It can't overtake you. The power of God is so, so resonant in our life that it cannot stop us from what we want to do if we truly are focused on him and his word and his purpose for our lives. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Verse 9, it says, and not of works, lest any man should boast. We are saved. That Greek word saved is sozo. It means to deliver, protect, heal. It's not just forgiveness of sins. Religion has made it out to be just religion of sin, and then that's it. God just saved you from your sin, and that's it. Everything else, you're on your own. That is not the case. He has delivered us. He has healed us, for we are saved by grace. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto healing. It is the power of God unto deliverance. It is the power of God unto safety. It is the power of God unto prosperity or to do well. It is the power of God to all these things. And people just want to focus on one little thing. It isn't just the forgiveness of sins. It is the healing part of it. Sickness should not be in your body. Has no right unless you gave it a right. And if you gave it a right, you let them in. Guess what? You can kick it out. But God is putting this on me. No, he is not. And he has never. I understand. Jesus calls Paul to be blind and so he had to be, Ananias had to go and preach to him. I understand that. But God's will is not for you to be sick and lame. And just in constant fear. He wouldn't have given you faith. Faith overcomes all that fear. He wouldn't give you mountain moving faith, the measure of faith. I'm telling you, faith that is for the impossible, faith that can get you and accesses the grace of God. He wouldn't have given you that if he didn't want you to have it. You can't get saved without that faith. And the greatest miracle that is done in a believer's life is when they step out of from the kingdom of darkness and is translated into the kingdom of light. You can't do that without the resurrection power. You can't do that without faith in Jesus. You can't do that without confessing that Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart. The gospel, too good to be true news. It's not bad news. We have to stop equipping the bad news and putting bad news with good news. It's good news and it's good news only. There are some bad things if you reject it. And Jesus did talk about hell, but that wasn't the good news. The gospel being preached to the poor wasn't, here's some bad news. You're just going to stay poor. No. It's good news. It's to turn your whole life around, to do a 180 in your life on what's going on. You were damned for eternal, you were destined for eternal damnation. Now Jesus has saved you. And he has raised you up and seated you in heavenly places. Now you get to spend eternity with him rather than in a lake of fire. That's some glorious stuff right there. You see how the enemy can get us so focused and so distracted on the promises of God and the fulfillment of what God is coming to do in our lives. And we can get so down and out to where we may call ourselves losers, unforgiven. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, all that. No, I am the righteousness of God. That's how he sees me. God doesn't see me as a sinner. He doesn't see you as a sinner. He sees you just like he sees Jesus. You are the righteousness of God. Stop beating yourself up. You have greater living in you. You have the great one living in you. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. This is the part of the inheritance of the saints. Verse 9, it says, not of works, lest anyone should boast. This should be something that brings you peace. Can you imagine trying to work out your salvation? All you're just doing is working, working, working. You ain't taking any days off, man. You're just working and working and working, hoping that somebody sees you and does well. And then when you're standing there before the Lord, say, hey, remember me, remember me. No. Just constantly working to obtain your salvation. It is never going to be enough. You could be the nicest person. There are some people who don't have a relationship with Jesus. It's nicer than other Christians. But here's the thing. If you just want to be nice all your life, go right ahead. But they're going to be with the Heavenly Father. They may not get all the works that they probably should have done, the rewards and stuff. But here's the thing. Your works aren't going to get you into to heaven. It's not for salvation. God did not call you. He did not call you to do good works in order to obtain your salvation. But he has called you to do good works because your salvation is in Christ Jesus. See, they're not going to be able to stand before God and say, no one has ever preached that to me, Lord. I've never heard the gospel. Wait a minute. Come back here. Let me see. We had right here, October 22nd, 1982. We had a gentleman, one of my servants, that came and preached the gospel to you, and you just basically snubbed your nose at. It's all recorded. You can't say, oh, I didn't know. We can play dumb with everybody else, but we can't play dumb with God. Matter of fact, now we don't just have it on book. Let me just show you a reel. We can't do that with them. But see, the thing is, all you have to do is flip it. You want to do good in order to obtain salvation, but you're supposed to put your faith in the good one, Jesus. What he had done for you, place your faith into that. Now go out and do the works for the kingdom of God. Do good works for the kingdom of God. You can't get saved by yourself. It's not enough. It's not enough. I went to church all my life, and we how we did it, we tarried and stuff and called on the name of Jesus and what have you, but I just didn't feel saved. I didn't think that I was saved, but I didn't realize that God was working in my life all that time. There are times I should have been dead multiple times. That was the Lord's saving me, delivering me, protecting me, parents praying over me. I didn't know, but I didn't really have a relationship with him. It didn't feel like it. See, the thing is, you can't live out throughout someone else's faith. You can't live out your parents. You got to walk it out yourself. If you're of age, you have to walk that out yourself. You have to develop your own. Well, I'm going off of Pastor Tim. Don't go off of mine. I'm not saying you can't, because you're going to do well. Because we're going to whoop them. You know what? Why? I go to God. It ain't my faith. It's the faith he's given me. You got the same one. So I'm going to just help you out. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to help you to understand you got the same faith as me. If I can believe God, you can too. So let's just get in agreement. Let's find out what his word says. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. But there's going to be times where you won't be able to get a hold of me, because sometimes I won't pick up the phone and I'll act like I'm not there. Bueno? No. Why is that? Because there's sometimes I want you to be able to walk that out yourself. I'm not here to make babies. Just... No, you've got to stand on the word of God yourself. I don't want you to try to come to me and say, and you're asking everything. Yeah, I can get in agreement with you, but you got to go to God. I'm not God. God's going to be faithful to watch over his word to perform it. His word in your mouth is going to be powerful for you, for your life. But I can get an agreement, because my responsibility is to equip you. Equip the church so that you can go out and do what God has called you to do. People think it's the pastor that's supposed to be going out winning souls. That's you all, not me. That's why you stay equipped. That's why I have you not backing down from anything. You be bold out there when you're preaching the gospel. You be bold out there when you're facing people who might be suffering from demonic oppression. You have that authority. If you believe in the name of Jesus, you have the right to be able to cast out those demons. Don't allow a demon to shake you. Sometimes I get caught up a little bit. I get caught up in the flesh. I want to knock a demon out. That's not going to help. I understand that, but it makes me feel better. But I don't do that. Why? Because it's the spirit that's in them. We wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. Sometimes I want to wrestle, but I can't. Thank God I have people around me that I say, dude, chill. I want to wrestle, but I can't. It's the spirit behind that. So what do? We got to go to the word. We got to stand on his word, his power, his authority for what he's called us to do. There's a spirit operating in certain people. Lord, give me discernment. Call so I can cast that out, call that out, come against it in the name of Jesus. Why? So I don't reach out and touch someone. I don't know if y'all seen a video of a pastor that kind of went across the street. Some dude was saying something. Did y'all see that? Anybody else seen that? Anybody seen it? He whooped his tail. You know, I can't even be mad at him. Somebody making threats on my family. And when you leave, I'm going to go and do this to your wife and daughter and stuff. Rape them and stuff. I don't know if I would have had the peace. Oh, calm down, brother. I'll do that afterwards. Honestly, I would. I mean, you threaten me, my family? It's going to be a problem. I'm going to protect. Man, we are called to protect our families. But there's probably be a better way. Power of God can hit them, knock them out. We can do that. I'll just plead. I'll try to play dumb with God and say, Lord, oh, I was supposed to use the power first. Nope, I can't do that. You got to use the power. You got to operate. You got to flow in the power. That word sozo, again. Not a works lest any man should boast. Verse 10, it says, for we
are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are God's workmanship. Other versions will say God's masterpiece. Let us not boast about what we've done in our lives for ourselves with our abilities, our talents, and our giftings, and never give credit to God. People may not like it, but I love it when athletes are like, score a touchdown, make a basket. Why? They're giving honor to God. Yes, we are playing a game on Sunday, but yet, you know what? I'm still going to acknowledge and honor you. That's a good thing. Need more athletes like that, not closet Christians. They're able to come out openly and confess and profess their love for Jesus Christ, their relationship. They truly have a relationship with them. We are his workmanship. All glory, all honor goes to him, not to ourselves. We don't boast about the things that we do. Deuteronomy 8:18, and it says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. You have Deuteronomy 8. Did I give you that one? Okay, that's the next one, so don't worry about that. So you're not a self-made millionaire. People say, well, I'm a self-made millionaire. No, no, no. God has given you the ability to get wealth. Everything you're doing right now, he's giving you that talent. He's giving you that ability. Stop trying to take credit. We have to stop trying to take credit for what something God has given us. God gives you the power. You are his workmanship that was created in Christ Jesus for good works. And there it is again, good works, good works. You are called to do good works for the kingdom of God. And everyone who belongs to Jesus Christ is called to do good works for the kingdom. Having a new nature in Christ should produce good works in your life and for the kingdom of God. But doing good works does not produce a new nature in you. That's what you have to understand. God has prepared everything that we have going on before the foundations of this world. Our redemption plan before the foundation of the world. Now, people believe because of this and other few scriptures that we don't necessarily have free will. That's not the case. Deuteronomy 30:19. They'll preach against it. They'll see that predestined in the Bible, and it says that we were predestined or God chose us beforehand. There are things that God had chose us beforehand, but here's the thing. He doesn't control everything. He doesn't control our daily decisions and choices that we make. And here he is giving an account. He calls all of heaven and all of earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Therefore, do what? Choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Clearly, God has given us a choice every single day, but people will say we don't have free will. We have free will. I don't understand. Throughout the Bible, God has given them an option. To serve him or to serve Baal. We have that option every single day. He doesn't force us to do anything. Because if that's the case, don't you think we would have been caught up a whole lot quicker? God knows beforehand who will end up spending eternity with him and who will spend eternity in the lake of fire. He knows that. It's not a surprise to him if someone shows up at the gates. Where'd you come from? Is that right? 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All people will not come to repentance. But God's will is so that everyone will come to repentance, but not all will. So there will be more who will be destroyed than there is coming into the kingdom. But his will, for everyone to be saved. Jesus died for not the sins of the elect, but the sins of the world. It's a choice. They still have a choice. God is a just God, and the choices that we choose to make every day is on us. That's on us. He doesn't control everything. We have control of our daily choices. We have control of what operates in our life. See, people will say, I said, and those who are about predestination, they will say, well, God allowed this to happen. The Bible says that God will allow what we allow. So if you're saying God allowed this, it's really saying, well, I allowed this and God allowed it. That's what it is. You're allowing it. You're allowing yourself. God did not make me overweight. That was me not working out as much as I should. I still eat like I'm 20, which is pretty bad, but I don't play like I was 20. I got to change it up. But that was me. We're working on that. That's the thing. That was my choice, not God's. He wouldn't have instruction throughout the whole Bible. This is instruction manual for our life. Now, if we didn't have the choice to choose it, why would he put it in here? Just follow it. We can choose not to use it, or we can choose to use it. We can choose to pray. We can choose to do the things that he's called us to do. Those are our, that's our choice. He's given us that power. Saying free will doesn't matter or is not for us. Well, this isn't for me then. Then I'm going to just go out and just reach out and touch somebody. I'm going to knock some people out because what? God is having me to do this. You realize that's a cowardice way to live, to blame everything on God. What a cowardly doctrine that is. Be a man. That is so cowardly to blame everything on God when it's your choice. We can't do that. Why? Because God is going to say, what did you do with what I've given you? He's going to settle up accounts. And it's going to be based on what we have done with what he's given us. That was our choice. Free will has been given to us by God. He ordained it. He predestined that for us to have free will, but also for us to follow him. He chose us before the foundations of this world. Yes, he has. But he's also given us the option to be able to follow him and walk according to his plans. His plans for us is not destruction. But if we're sensing destruction, we're seeing destruction in our life, in our everyday life, then clearly we're not walking in his will for our lives. If you're not living that abundant life that Jesus came to give us, then you're walking in destruction. That's not the life that Jesus came to give you. Satan will rip you off as long as you continue to allow him to rip you off. It will make you think that you're doing the right thing and you're just flat out being ripped off. And when the abundant life is, listen, you can have peace in the midst of chaos. Oh, you can't have peace on earth. You can have peace in the midst of chaos. You can be delivered out of that problem. But God, Jesus said that we're going to have troubles in this world. But Jesus also said not to fear. Be of courage. For I've overcome this world. So what is the world going to do to you that I haven't already overcome? Persecution you're not redeemed from. Because if they did it to Jesus, they'll do it to you. But what's persecution in this nation? If it comes down to the place to where they take your life for believing in Jesus, that means you're going home to glory. Well, don't you don't you dare back down. Don't you dare back down from things, from certain situations. Did Daniel and his friends back down? And look at what God did. We serve the same God. They were being persecuted over some foolish things. They didn't back down. And God showed himself mightily on their behalf. You don't think he'll do it for you and you're in a better covenant? Oh my goodness. We are so much in a better covenant of grace. Oh, he won't do it for me. We get more in fear than they ever did back then. And we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Man, my goodness. If this doesn't tick you off a little bit, like, how have we been living so low? Because we listen to the world. We listen to distractions. We're focused on the wrong thing and not on Jesus. I have one more scripture on there. Which one's that one? Matthew. Go to that one. James. Free will. Talking about free will. It says, where do wars fight come from among you? Everywhere you see you. I'm talking about free will because this is James talking about it. He says, do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity against God, with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, that word therefore goes back up to the previous scriptures. Submit to God. Why? Because if you're fully submitted to God, you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you're fully submitted to God, you won't be coveting. If you're fully submitted to God, you won't be going around trying to start rumors and it starts roars and all this other stuff. Why? Because that was a choice that people have made. James didn't say God is doing this and working this in you. God is going to work a good work in you. That was brethren doing that to brethren. Why? There were choices. Go to Matthew. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. Now, my wife and I, we have, I'm on a down end on this one because every time KU plays North Carolina loses. I don't, for whatever reason. KU's not even that good. So they catch us on the worst day ever. But in that, we're kind of like a house divided, but we still kind of have peace within that. But Jesus is saying, a house divided against itself. Satan, if Satan drives out Satan, then that kingdom is divided and it will not stand. If God is divided, his kingdom is divided, it will not stand. So God can't be going around doing all this evil in this world, all the human trafficking, all the children being abused, all the wars that are being created, all the negative things and the evil things that has been brought, people dying, being killed, being manslaughtered, all these things happening in the world. People are attributing that to God because of we don't have free will. That's God's doing. That is not true. That is a bold-faced lie. God is a good God. And there are people who choose to yield to the devil. They don't have Christ living in them. And they choose to go out and do those things to come against other people. That's why God needs the sons and daughters to step up and be and take their place and do what he's called them to do. We have to go out and preach the gospel. We have to go out and impact people's lives. We have to be able to cast out those demons. We have to be able to lay hands on the sick. We have to do those things. He called us to do it, and Christ will come with us. But if we're out there doing it and God is over here doing this, then that's a kingdom divided against itself, and it will not stand. It will not stand. So next time somebody says, well, we don't have free will. No. Yeah, we do. Got the scriptures here. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. See, two kingdoms at work. God is not divided. God is not controlling the kingdom of darkness. But Satan has to operate in the parameters of what God has given him.
Satan is the one that will go out and sift you if you're in pride and things of that nature.
Well, he needs permission from God. Right. Right. If we're being prideful, he needs permission. But here's the reality. If you're not in pride, there's no problem. And it's Satan that will try to bring that destruction. It isn't God bringing that destruction. Remember, because Jesus has said, Satan has asked to sift you, Peter, as wheat. But I pray, see, a good shepherd says, but I pray that your faith will not fail you.
So you don't back down when the enemy is trying to collect data on you, information on you, trying to sift you, trying to come against you, trying to get you to turn away from God. You stay focused on him in every season, in every storm, and he's going to see you through. Why? Promotion is on his way.
People coming and wreak havoc in your life, guess what? Don't sweat it. Promotion is on his way.
Because God loves you. You stay true to who you are in Christ. And don't allow those situations to change who you are. Some days I got to look myself in the mirror and be like, who are you? I got to remind myself. Got to start smiling again. I went to a conference and somebody said, there's that smile.
Yeah. All right. Come on. Pastor Tim is getting a step back.
Why? Because I was buckling down. I wanted to fight. You want to come at me? We're going to throw down. Let's go. I'm going to show you how tough I am. In a natural, I can throw hands. But God doesn't want me to.
I had a dream a long time ago where to the place where I wouldn't have to fight. And he showed me in a dream. Because, you know, in a fight, I don't understand. I never understood, like in a dream, why I'm always losing in fights. It's my dream. That's not really a dream. It's a nightmare. I'm swinging and I don't hit nothing. And then I figured out I can just hold them and just beat them. But I realized a long time ago, the Lord, after showing that, he's, you don't have to fight. I got you.
Sometimes you want to go back to that old life. I can't. I can't. Thank God for people around you that tells you, dude, shut up. Calm down. I wanted to beat the brakes off of somebody recently. I couldn't. God didn't want me to. People around me didn't want me to. This is a living testimony. But thank God for his grace. We're called to be a light in the midst of darkness. The gospel is preached. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel is good news. It's good news. It's good news. It will always be good news. So go and tell people what you see and what you hear. The blind eyes are open. The lame walk. The dead, the mute talk. The dead are raised. And the gospel is preached to the poor. Preach the gospel. And not just preach it, demonstrate it. Amen. And I guarantee you, you're going to get all the pushback. People don't like it when you demonstrate the power of God. You know, we can argue doctrine all over the place, back and forth, back and forth. But when you start demonstrating what you've been preaching on, that's the difference. You can have people who sit on there and intellectually stimulate people's minds and stuff. And they're the ones, those are the men that are curled up under a cover with their books, with their toes curled up and stuff like that. And they all reading, and they got the little latte and everything. Those aren't men. Those aren't men. Quit calling yourself a man. You're not a man. Go do some push-ups or something. Good gracious. Go chop some wood. We need men in this country that's going to stand up for the truth, preach the word of God, and demonstrate what God has called us to demonstrate. And he will back it up. And I guarantee you, you're going to get all the pushback that you need. Demonstrate. Preach the good news of Jesus Christ. And don't allow those circumstances to change who you are as a believer. Amen.
Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we have come to you because we are surrendered to you, Lord. We thank you that we are in this house of prayer. We are a house united, not a house divided. Lord, and we serve a kingdom that is not divided. We know you are a good God who has given us the good news of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for those open doors. We thank you that the things that people are going through right now, promotion is just on the cusp of things. Lord, it's just on the brink. That door, that place, that new level that they're getting ready to go to, Lord. It's there. It's right there. I thank you for giving them the strength to continue on and to press into you. Not to grow weary in doing good. And we thank you for the impact that they have in everybody's life. And we thank you for the impact that you are making in their life today. And if there's anyone sick here, Lord, we speak healing in their bodies right now. And even online, whatever you're going through right now, trust God in his healing. Believe it. Say, I believe and I receive his healing today, right now, in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter what it is. I don't care what the doctor said. I love him, but God bless. Jesus loves you even more, which is why he died for you. Sozo is yours. It's yours. In the name of Jesus, and we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Amen. 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 Did that help someone today? Hopefully it did. Otherwise, we're going to have to preach it again. You got a different version. Let's stand. Now, I know some of y'all has not shown up, but I still love you. But we do play pickleball at 4 o'clock on Sundays. We're crashing. Not today? It's going to be windy today? 101? You wimps. We're raising up men. Doggum, did you not hear my message? That's all right. You're not playing. If you want to play, I'll be out here. If not, then I'll just be chilling. Amen. 4 o'clock. And what else? July 5th, next week. Wear your red, white, and blue. If you got it. Amen. Celebrating how many years? 250? 250. Doggone. That's a quarter of a, what is a millennium? It's awesome. All right. Yes. Yes. 250. Bring your friends, bring your family, all that. All right. Amen. Father God, I thank you. And I just anoint these people here, your children, Lord. Anoint them to do the works that you've called them to do, Lord. And I just thank you that everything that they set their hand to is blessed in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for increase in their lives, in every area of their lives, except for weight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv. Or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.